Do I just do it like that? We're recessed. We're delegates assembly. Poof. Poof. Okay. We're reconvening as delegates assembly. Okay. Now we're going to have nominations for the PNB. Oh, we need to take the roll. Let's not. We're the same group. You want to take the roll again? I always thought we didn't really have to convene, but take the
Okay. Okay. So, just so it's clear, we have to reconvene as a delegate assembly because of some technicality. Once explained to me in its murky details, per the bylaws, and somebody smarter than I can you know explain it to everybody. But that's what we're doing. We're reconvening as a delegate assembly for the purpose of voting for representatives to the PNB, and then we'll adjourn as the delegate assembly and reconvene as the LSB, even though nobody will change seats and nobody will be, unless you want to, okay?
Point of information or point of, may I? So one of the things that's different between this LSB and all the other four is that we have an associate rep who is not a delegate, so that's partly, yeah.
And that's Rich Withers from KFCF. So whose chair is currently empty. So on any matters dealing with PNB issues like representatives or bylaws changes, Rich does not get to vote, but because he's not a delegate. But anything else?
You're supposed to just take the.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving the background here.
Thank you.
Anything else dealing with the LSB, he gets to vote. Okay, so on to the attendance. So Adams? Adams is here. Alderson, I'm here. Campisi? Campisi is not here. Edwards-Tiekert?
Here.
Edwards-Tiekert is here. Fest?
Here.
Fest is here. Fuentes?
Present.
Fuentes is here. Futen? She's not here. Goen?
Here.
Goen is here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez is here. Jacobs?
Here.
Jacobs is here. Coburn?
Present.
Coburn is here. David Lynch?
Here.
David Lynch is here. Tim Lynch? Tim Lynch is here. Moore, not here. Morgan?
Here.
Morgan is here. Olson?
Here.
Olson is here. Scruggs?
Here.
Scruggs is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Tao Nichols is not here. Thompson?
Here.
Thompson is here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Whipperman? Whipperman is not here. White?
Physically present.
White is here. Wilkinson? Wilkinson is here. Withers, and Withers is not voting.
And Campisi is here.
Campisi is here. Okay.
And Whipperman's going to be
back. Yeah, so we'll note when the others return.
Okay. All right. The nominations are open, I believe.
Point of order?
Oh, yes.
So there are two elections, one for the staff rep and the other for the three listeners. So they're really two different elections. So which one?
I will say that the listener one will be first. So nominations are open. We get to elect three. And as you know, we rank our ballots. Point of order. Go ahead. You now have to use the microphone if you're going to do a point of order.
For the purpose of dotting I's and crossing T's, our bylaws require director nominations to be submitted in writing.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Thank you. And I think that I know that what? Yes, I know that. And actually, I know that Margie Wilkinson put in a lot of nominations. And that covered just about everyone she loves. And some of you she loves but didn't want to be on the PMB.
Point of order.
Or not included.
Or,
what?
Or may I just add?
Yes.
That
and which
there
ones?
There was a PNB motion that extended the usual December 31st deadline
until
to today.
So
right. They still can be submitted.
Yes. So, Margie.
Well,
I think that means that there's a lot of people nominated who should withdraw.
Okay. So I would ask Craig to read the emails that he received on December 31st. I was ill at the time, did not attend the PMB meeting, was unaware of the extension of the deadline, and so I made sure that I got my nominations in according to the bylaws, but we were bending the bylaws again. And then I would suggest that if people want to make nominations today that were not made previously, they should write them on a piece of paper and give them to Craig so that there is a, because the bylaws do require a written nomination.
Okay. And as you read Margie's list of names, people can, whatever you call it, what do you call it?
Withdraw.
Burton. One year on the LSB. And it doesn't have to be a recent. I mean, if you've ever served 1 year, for example, and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so the nominations that I received via email have come from Margie, and I received one from Barbara Whipperman. And written nominations are coming in as I speak. So let me just go down the list of who's nominated so far. So Craig Alderson, that's me. I'm going to decline.
I think officers can,
that's correct. Officers wouldn't be eligible anyway. So I'm. then you'd be stuck, wouldn't you? Okay, so next nominated is Brian Edwards Tiegert. Do you accept?
Yep.
Okay. Jose Luis Fuentes?
Yes.
Accepts. Sasha Futrin? Nomination for PNB, do you accept or decline?
No.
No meaning decline.
She doesn't do either.
Okay, Kate Goen? Okay, Kate Goen declines. Mark Hernandez? Okay, Mark Hernandez accepts. Carol Travis? You're an officer? Yeah, disqualified. Barbara Whipperman is also disqualified. Burton White?
Declined.
Burton White declines. Margie Wilkinson? Margie Wilkinson accepts. Okay, and I've received nominations for Anthony Fest. And do you accept? Okay. And for Janet Coburn. And Janet, do you accept or decline?
Accept.
Janet accepts. Okay. So now, Anthony, you would be nominated for the staff seat. Is that correct?
That's,
that's what you'd be running for? And
no.
You got it. Okay, you got it. Okay.
May I just clarify something? I believe that if somebody was elected as an LSB officer and then nominated for PNB and win, they can resign their LSB office or first. Okay.
Okay.
Can you read what it says? Because it's hard to read.
It is hard to read, yeah. Is that chopping
okay,
the board?
PNB listeners, Jose Luis Fuentes, Mark Hernandez. So this is the listener position, and this is the one we'll be voting on first.
Three seats.
Three seats. Rank them.
Okay, and this is one. Okay, so Jose Luis Fuentes, Mark Hernandez, Marty Wilkinson, Janet Coburn. Okay, there's one seat for the PNB staff position, Brian Edwards Tiegert and Anthony Fest.
So we vote for one for staff and three for staff.
Right, but you can rank.
Rank.
Right.
As many as three.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's not right.
Wait a minute. Shush, be quiet. Yes.
You can rank as many seats as there are candidates. And remember, even your last ranked person could theoretically be determinative in breaking a tie.
Okay, got it.
And you can rank as few as you want as well.
Okay. Once we get the ballots, I will continuously, in my radio voice, read the names of the candidates so that Barb will know who they are. Oh, Canada statements. Does anybody want to campaign here for the listener spots? The names are Jose Luis Fuentes, Mark Hernandez, Margie Wilkinson, Janet Coburn. Jose Luis Fuentes, Mark Hernandez, Margie Wilkinson, Janet Coburn.
Oh, there she switched one right there. Saw that.
There's five.
No, from out there. Thank you.
This one has a hanging
so much someone else can do that.
And I don't know. I mean, I have the luxury of only covering things I'm interested in, so it's true. Generally, don't resent the prep time. I feel like I'm waiting.
Yeah, no, I was just saying the same thing. I feel like, I want to come.
22?
So the threshold is 22 divided by 4 plus 1. Six. We're on the same page? You never get to go that deep. I mean, it's kind of the daily deadline is kind of like being on a hamster wheel.
Well, there you go. There's that.
Just the daily show. Yeah.
That's the problem with the real news at this point. We don't have the resources to do more in-depth kind of stuff. We can't just send people out for 3 month stories and that kind of shit. We're always scrambling. The nice thing is that on the left, on the left.
Yeah, they all do it for free. So you know what's hilarious is on the right, they all do too.
Well, yeah. we just
I've realized that if you call some fire brand on the right, they just tell them you're from a radio station.
Cool. Exactly. That's my whole point.
Oh, that's not
Well, and not only can you talk to people, there's a bunch of people on the right who are paid to talk to you. They got so much to do. They're so smart.
Yes,
they're so smart. They're planning to do this. That's just slowly build up all these think tanks.
So you can get
policy papers. So every time something comes out, there's just ocean of right-wing stuff to choose from. And then this will be this proportionally small thing than anything that would be critical left to
say.
It just overwhelms me. Which they're more than happy to be overwhelmed, of course. They're
Have you read the Brown?
Well, and they also have a really well-developed leadership pipeline where they started to
really
get
to
sort of
work
on the campus. There's think tank jobs waiting for
them.
And
some
of those people aren't just there waiting to talk to the media. They're waiting to
I would find it
exactly. Yeah, it's all part of it. Very comprehensive and very well done.
But those generally aren't the people.
You just pass it. So
yeah, exactly.
It's one way.
They're
not
waiting
for
just
to
use
No, but you kind of, I mean, what's interesting to me is kind of who's the constituent. You know what I mean? Like, who are the people that actually show up for Tea Party rallies and are being paid to be there?
Yeah. I mean, after all the blustering, the creative blustering, who are actually the groups on the ground? And then ask them, why are you here?
Who are the only people?
Yeah. Well, wherever they are. Who are the people showing up for Trump rally? Reading some stuff. Say, here we go. Did you write Sanders?
Did you ever write a password? Did somebody do that?
No. That's what the real news to do is push on.
I know.
To do reporting.
Yeah, the score's house party. It's really true. People should remember house party.
Well, I've really
voted progressive or even Democrats for And so I push it out. Green, and we're going to do that. Because we have these buildings that we have finished. Bernie Sanders.
Okay, well, the meeting's to order. We've got to report. Aki,
so,
thank you.
Okay, so the Maggie has 14 number one votes. So she's automatically in on that. And then Janet has 8 number one votes. Okay, and the second votes, Jose has 12 number two votes, and Mark had 2 number two votes. So I think Jose is in for the third position. Right, exactly. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's order.
So the three people elected are Jose Luis Fuentes, Margie Wilkinson, and Janet Coburn. Not in that order of receiving votes, but that's the those are our listener representatives to the PNB. Now we are going to have the election.
Sorry.
Yes.
I don't think that's mathematically inevitable. We actually have to do the transfer.
Oh. What? Okay,
so,
go ahead.
So Margie's second place votes have to be transferred at 6/14 of their value, and Janet's have to be... No. The ballots that listed her first go to the voter's second choice preference. At 6/14 of their value. That's the transfer system under STV. And for Janet, they go to her second they go to the voter's second choices at 2/8, 1/4 of their value.
You don't get the third seat by counting up the second place choices. You have to transfer the fractional value of the surplus votes.
So Mark Easter has been at what rate?
Well, number of votes needed to win the 22 people voting is 6.
Correct.
Number one. So Janet and Mark is in by having more than 6 number one votes.
Right.
And then the transfer of the number two votes for Mark is...
Sorry, 8/14.
So anyway, so out of the 8...
Wait, did anybody else get number 1?
No.
No. Right. No. Okay. There's no other number 1. So those 8 of the numbers, those 8 go, then goes to...
the number 2 person that has number 2 votes?
Who voted second on Margie's thing?
Almost everyone of Margie's number 1 has Jose as number 2.
So that's 12, you're saying. Almost everyone, 12 of them.
Well, how?
So that means it's Jose.
Wrong. So of Margie's 14 votes, how many have a second choice ranking, and who are they for?
Jose Luis and 2 for Marcia Hernandez.
Yeah. Of the 14,
okay.
12 went to
so
Jose
it's okay.
And 2 went to Mark.
So it's going to be 12 times 8/14.
What about 2?
Janet 2. So
that's 6 divided by 4.
Janet's 2 votes went evenly to each of the other guys.
Yeah, but it won't change who
right.
The one. We've got the third place spot.
Okay, find my calculator. So that's 6.85 votes.
Okay.
The transfer to Jose Luis. So that puts him over the threshold.
Right. So he'll be the second. Okay.
Sorry to be
a
but that is, yeah.
Yay.
Thank you, Mark, for being willing.
Okay. So now we're going to the second election. That's the listener rep, the staff rep election. And do we have the ballots, please? And Brian and Anthony, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What is that music? Is that the campaign season?
I'm not
telling.
one friend or one friend. Oh, wait. Is this? I've got that. What I have.
Rich. Rich. Do you have any more copies of the slave version?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We'll now go to commercial break.
We only have 21 ballots instead of 22. But
who didn't put their? But anyway, does that affect the outcome?
There are 14 for Brian, number one, and 7 for Anthony.
Okay. Okay, congratulations.
And 2 number twos for Anthony.
Okay.
Yep, that's it.
Da 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 da. Right. Okay. All right. I think we now. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Oh, well, we want to thank Carol and Aki and Robin. Yay! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We are in the delegates assembly, and we've got a recess, and then we're going to reconvene, and I have an opening remark that may go to what you're going to say. Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
So
moved. Okay. A second. All in favor, raise your hands. All opposed, by acclamation, we adjourned. The recess ends, and we are now reconvened as the LSB, and I want to say that during the break, those officers who are here of us looked at letter brought by Eileen Alfandary and the questions and so forth, and we decided that we'll talk to Ramses as the other officer, and at the next meeting have a report about how we think maybe it is wise to proceed. Yes. Does anybody have the letter? She passed it out.
Oh, I got one. If the stack probably stopped with someone.
Oh, right. That's what I ended right here.
Okay.
Someone can have my copy.
Right. Yeah, make sure Janet has a copy. Okay. Bill.
Well, that's all well and good, and I think we should get,
microphone, please.
You know, what happened creates a hostile work environment, which is really the last thing that KPFA needs. We don't need a hostile work environment here. And I also think it probably broke state law or federal law. I mean, the bylaws are, you can't have bylaws that break state law. And the other thing, I think the board should put a moratorium in place today against the general manager allowing anyone to take employees' personnel files or inspect them unless they have a need to know and they can explain it until we look at the issue. This shouldn't between now and the next board meeting, this shouldn't happen again. And I would like to add that to the agenda.
All right. So if we're adding a spot to the agenda, that would be under new business, I think. That would be a discussion about whether or not to have a moratorium, a discussion of a moratorium between now and the next board meeting. Okay, so that all in favor of adding that to the agenda.
Wait a minute, discussion, please.
No, I mean, we're not going to discuss the substance now. We're discussing whether or not we're going to add that to the agenda. And it takes two-thirds to add it to the agenda.
Right, but there's discussion about adding something to the agenda.
Okay, okay.
So may I? Yeah. I mean, I think it is out of order for an LSB to put a moratorium on.
That's
whatever,
on the substance.
I don't know what. Excuse me, may I finish?
I don't.
So putting something that's illegitimate on the agenda is inappropriate, and it's out of order to even put it on the agenda.
Okay, so that's an argument against that.
Point of order.
Yes. Another point of order.
Once you've approved the agenda.
Yeah.
The agenda can only be changed by a motion to suspend the rules, which I'm assuming this is, and it's not debatable.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
It goes
to
a vote.
And
it's
two-thirds.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So all in favor of adding this under new business.
We have to suspend the rules?
The motion is to suspend the rules so as to add this item.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, and so let's have a vote on whether or not to add this to the agenda. All those in favor,
please
raise your hands.
Roll call.
Yes, I too request a roll call, and it's the right of every member to request a
roll call. Let's have a
roll call.
Well, I don't care if there's a roll call.
Everybody, let's fight over dumb, unimportant things.
Pretty exhale.
What? Don't worry.
Can I just clarify the motion is to suspend the rules? Is that it?
Suspend the rules and add this as an agenda item.
Exactly.
And this, Bill, could you restate what this is?
The board will instruct the CEO of KPFA not to allow anyone from the board.
What's the subject? Is it just, I mean,
inspection of personnel files.
Okay, got it.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. The GM will be instructed not to allow any board member.
Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah. But for the moment now, the motion is to suspend the rules and add inspection of personnel files to the agenda.
Yeah.
Is that got it?
Under
okay.
Business.
Under new business. Okay. Okay, so Adams.
No.
Adams, no. Alderson, yes. Campisi. Campisi, yes. Edwards-Tiekert.
Yes.
Yes.
Edwards Tiekert, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Fuentes?
Yes.
Fuentes, yes. Futrin?
Yes.
Futrin, yes. Goen?
Yes.
Goen, yes. Hernandez?
Yes.
Hernandez, yes. Jacobs?
No.
Jacobs, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. David Lynch?
Yes.
David Lynch, yes. Tim Lynch?
Yes.
Tim Lynch, yes. Morgan? Excuse me, Moore is not here. Morgan?
No.
Morgan, no. Olson?
No.
Olson, no. Scruggs?
No.
Scruggs, no. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Teo Nichols?
Not here.
Oh, not right. Not here. Thank you. Thompson?
Yes.
Thompson, yes. Travis?
I voted when there's a...
Okay, Travis will pass. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White?
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. So that's 14, yes. 8, no. 1, not voting. Okay. Wait, but it requires two-thirds. Is that correct? So two-thirds of 23?
If the affirmative isn't twice the negative, it fails.
Well, two-thirds of 23 is 15.3
right.
to pass.
So it didn't pass. It failed.
So this fails.
Yeah. So then my vote counts.
Well, you didn't only if it can change the outcome.
Well, it would.
No.
Yes, it would.
It would make it 15.
It's 15.3. Is 15.3
is two-thirds. Oh,
sorry.
What's the count? It's
The current count is 14 yes, 8 no. Carol didn't vote. If she voted in the affirmative, it would be 15 yes, 8 no.
Which is not two-thirds.
Which is not two-thirds.
Okay. Okay. Meeting schedule, this year's meeting schedule. I'm going to call on Barb, who has got a proposal that she passed around.
Everybody should have this little half sheet.
We didn't get. I don't think there were enough of them.
There were enough of them.
Okay, well,
there were enough. I don't know where it is. Half sheet is on the floor.
Hello, that's this one.
Here's another. Is this yours? Is this an extra stack? Do you have one? Okay.
I got one.
Everybody got one now?
No.
Here. I've got one. You don't need to. Okay. The bylaws say that we have to have at least 9 meetings a year, and this past year we experimented having 9 meetings instead of 12, and it worked out fine. I thought over the process, the big job we have to do with getting the approving a budget. It is... A budget is drawn together by the staff and presented to us, and they look into the history of all the kinds of expenses in different categories and go through a very complicated process. A lot of work goes into it. And there is a time schedule that then the PNB Finance Committee reviews all the budgets as they are after they're approved by each LSB. And so I was thinking of the year when I made the proposal last year about which months we could just not have a meeting and still meet this budget schedule. And so as you'll see on this list, the 3 months that are proposed to not meet are March, June, and October. Now, we've also, since I've been treasurer, first the process accepted schedule was to meet the first Saturday of every month. And this made it extremely difficult for the business people to get all the information together they needed to present statements. And last year we tried having meetings on the second Saturday of the month. And in looking at the calendar, I thought, well, what about the third Saturday? And the first month that you see is January, and the third Saturday would have only given 10, well, and then there's a holiday, 10 work days for the business people. So it seemed to me logical to move it to the fourth Saturday. And there are 3 months where the fourth Saturday conflicts with holiday weekends. So you can see I've put asterisks there. And then those months would be on the third Saturday. Obviously, when there is no meeting, for instance, let's look at March, there will be no opportunity then to get a February statement until April. And by the way, the comment made earlier about the statement that we have passed around being a three-month statement, that is the usual format. We would give all of the statements for the months in the fiscal year. We wouldn't just give a statement for 1 month, except if there was some particular reason. You know, mostly it would be always cumulative. It would start with October. That's the first month in our fiscal year. And so anyway, the statement, which we will look at soon, is for 3 months because it started, our fiscal year started last October. Anyway, I'm proposing this fourth Saturday schedule. Now, the only question that I have after getting this together was that there is a holiday weekend in April that some people may feel conflicts with the schedule, and I hope we don't have to discuss this for a long time. But the fourth Saturday in April is Passover. So I don't know how to bring this up. Are there any members of this board who would think that we should not schedule a LSB meeting on Passover? Deafening silence. Yes, Janet.
Well, I'm thinking of the public, I don't know. I have a little bit of a problem with it, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought somebody might. The thing is, if it were put, say, 1 week later, it gets way too close to the LSB meeting in May, and in March we've agreed not to have a meeting.
Did we agree?
About 1 week earlier.
When did we agree? Yeah.
1 week earlier.
We're not meeting in March.
This 1 week earlier. Here's the one drawback about 1 week earlier, and it is for the ability of the business manager and all the people involved in getting the information together for a statement. They would not have as much time as we are trying to give them by changing to 4 weeks. Brian.
I just want to clarify, as someone with honorary Jew status in my family, Passover lasts for 8 days.
Okay.
It's not like a thing on a specific day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is it the first night of Passover?
The first night is Friday night. Okay.
I didn't know we had already agreed to only have 9 meetings, because I personally would like to suggest that we have 11 meetings this year, since I think that what's happening to Pacifica and KPFA is crisis, since there is an actual crisis group. And I think we should meet in March, and I think we should meet in October. That's my opinion, and I would make a motion on that.
So then maybe this...
Well, Ms. Whipperman said that we had already agreed to only have nine...
No, I said we did it this year, and it worked out fine. So,
and then you said earlier we have agreed to have nine this year. That's why I'm responding.
We're not going to fight here. Hold on.
Order.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
We've got a motion. I think Barbara has put a motion on the floor. We can split the vote. That's all right.
Well, you take amendments to it, and you vote on the amendments.
Right. Or split the vote of the 9 months, nine meetings, or 11, you know, nine meetings, or, okay, you... Don't give me that look. Okay. There's two ways to do it. You could split the vote.
So you need to take a motion and a second on this, and then anyone can propose striking, changing, or adding
or
dates
splitting.
To this calendar before we vote on it. That's the, you know, that's what gets us to a calendar.
Okay. Perhaps you would like to be chair. Okay. So... I presume you moved this.
Yes.
I passed this to you to move this. Has it been
seconded?
Okay. And Sharon is amending it to have not 11 meetings.
Yes, I would like to have meetings in March. Well, January, February, March, April, May, July, August, September, October, November, and December. 11 meetings.
Order. The amendment needs to specify dates to add to this calendar.
I can do that, but I have to look at my calendar.
Madam Chair.
Okay, for February, for March, I would propose March 26th. Okay. And for October, I would propose March 29th. I mean October 29th. October 29th, and then I'm going back and changing mine for March to I'll propose the third Saturday in March. So I'm proposing March 19th, and what was the other one I said? October 29th. October 29th. Those are the days I'm proposing to add to this.
What about May? And what about May?
May is already on here.
Oh,
May 21st
oh, okay.
is already on here,
June.
And I was only proposing 11 months because I thought we would take the month of June off since it's summer and people probably won't be here.
So, but that's not 11 months.
I'm adding in two.
Oh, wait, so that's, is there a second?
Second.
October 29th, March 19th. I'm proposing to add those two.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not proposing to amend this amendment or anything like that, but just throwing something in here. If the April meeting is, if there are concerns about Passover, then one could simply meet in March and not meet in April. I'm throwing that out for consideration after this motion is dealt with.
Okay. Margie?
Okay. Okay, I want to say, first of all, that for the budget schedule, it's more important that we meet in April than in March because we will be depending on information that we have at the end, that we have at the end of March, which won't be available in March, but will be available in April. And the other thing I want to say is that this board can always call additional meetings. And I think what happens is that in my experience in the past is that when we schedule meetings without having a clear idea about what the purpose of the meeting is, we tend to just sort of fill up the space. And I think that's a problem. And I think, we can be disciplined about this. We can make sure that our meetings are purposeful and have reasons for existing. And actually, we did that last year, and I thought it was very good, where we assigned kind of a primary purpose to each month's meeting. And I think we should do that at our next meeting. If there's an emergency and we need a meeting, it's easy to call a meeting. We can do that. And I like the original proposal that left three dates uncharted. And when we get to it for April, I would propose that we meet a week early in April because we won't have a meeting in March, and so we could consider the end of the first 3 months of 2016, the budgetary information that we have at that meeting.
Janet.
Okay. Well, I have a message from Ramses. I sent him the initial dates, and I wanted to share what he says. And then I also want to address myself.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Ramsey says those fourth Saturday dates may not work for me because of union exec board meetings usually at that time, but our new schedule for 2016 isn't out yet till next month. So anyway, I'm just sharing that's what he was saying. So I support Sharon's proposal, her motion, which my understanding is adding March 19th, having no meeting in April, and adding October 29th. And in terms of the reporting,
that's not what she said. She did not eliminate the April meeting.
Oh, all right. Oh, never mind. Oh, okay. But never mind about that. But as far as timing in terms of getting reports, we should be able to get reports online, you know, documents online. Anyway, we should be getting that regardless of when our meetings are.
Brian.
Given what Janet just said, I want to make a substitute motion that we set our next meeting for February 27th and postpone discussion of the rest of the calendar until that meeting. I think it's a problem if we set a regular schedule that one of our officers regularly can't attend, and I think we'll just be spinning our wheels if we try to work it out in the meeting.
Okay. All right. So this is the substitute motion.
So it just sets our next meeting.
Right, for February 27th. So is there a second?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, on discussion. Seeing none, all in favor of Brian's substitute motion, please raise your hand. All opposed. It's overwhelmingly agreed to. I think that is a substitute, then, is what it is, and I don't have to take another vote.
You
is
do.
That I do. Okay, all right. So now we're voting on the substituted meeting schedule, which is the one we just voted to substitute. So
as the main
motion, yes.
I just wanted to say, I mean, I appreciate the comment about Ramses, but I think, based on what he said, that he's not going to be able to be here on February 27th because that also is the fourth Saturday.
He doesn't know.
Okay.
All right. So, all in favor, about understanding what Sharon just said, all in favor. We're voting on the what is now the main motion, which is the substituted motion, which is that we vote now just on the February 27th meeting and that this will be taken up in February. All right? Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Okay. Unanimous. Okay.
May I just add something for
Ramses?
Just it's sort of implied, but that between now and February 27th, assuming he might not be able to make it, that you guys talk and
I'm going to be
out.
Talking to Ramses
okay.
about
That's all
many
about.
Things.
Yeah.
Okay. Sharon.
I just want to say the KPFA website doesn't have the 2016 or even the schedule, it only has a 2015 date.
Right.
So is there some way that we...
Well, we'll do that. It's just that they didn't have it because we didn't set it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they'll have it for at least February 27th.
Yes,
we'll get there.
Absolutely. Okay. Great. We are now at the general manager's report, which I believe is going to be given by Rich.
Yes, Quincy requested that I do the report for him. Thank you, pal. December year-end drive. Our December drive, the 8th through the 18th, was a success on several levels. First of all, we had to add $100,000 to our goal of $350,000. This was because we were notified that monies lent to sister stations were not going to be repaid. In order to prevent any layoffs, we tacked on the additional money. At the conclusion of the on-air drive, we had surpassed our original goal, reaching $373,000, in itself a small victory. We then initiated a series of fill-the-gap pitches once an hour, encouraging our listeners to donate to receive their year-end tax donation. We received a very enthusiastic response that totaled $101,000. On New Year's Eve alone, nearly $38,000 was donated at kpfa.org. Our year-end drive total came to $474,000. So far, we have collected about $347,000 of it, which is around 72%. I'm also happy to report that again during this drive, again, nearly 20% of our pledges were from first-time donors. But before you start applauding, I must add that during the drive, we were sitting on $220,000 worth of bills. Our winter fund drive begins February 16th. The phone room. Unfortunately, the volunteer turnout during the holiday fundraiser was mediocre at best. Emails were sent to our volunteer family before the drive, and we ran a promo campaign before and during the drive to encourage folks to come in. However, the room rarely had more than five volunteers at crucial times. I must give props to our rollover service, Telerep, for their excellent job in filling this shortfall and not allowing us to lose precious dollars while hoping that more volunteers would show up. KPFA Crafts Fair Recap, December 2015. Our second year at the Craneway Pavilion proved to be successful. Since we repositioned our involvement, we only received money from the entrance fees and no longer carry any other expenses, exhibitor fees, or salaries, so our net income was $36,000. We believe if we continue to expand our promotion of this event, we can reach a profit of $40,000. The next craft fair is scheduled for June 2016. Winter Fund Drive and Events. The KPFA Winter Fund Drive will start on Tuesday, February 16th, and go 18 days, ending on Friday, March 5th. This drive falls in the middle of Black History Month. The Mandala Collective at KPFA is renewing a tradition of producing an entire day of programming dedicated solely to Black history, presented solely by Black programmers, on Saturday, February 6th, from 6 a.m. to 12 midnight. It's a powerful statement and a day of education and enlightenment for everyone. Janine Etter is the executive of the program. The Amandala is also producing short announcements of moments in Black history to be aired throughout the month. International Women's Day will also feature day-long programming dedicated to celebrating the lives and struggles of women, produced and hosted by women in the station. The theme is Gender Equity from Commitment to Results. This will be on Tuesday, March 8th, and I hope I get these names right. Safi Wa Nariobi is producing along with an executive committee of Velma V, Nina Serrano, and Vika Aronson. Okay. They'll also be celebrating and honoring the work of Chris Welch and her many years of contribution to the station. The annual Grateful Dead Marathon will be on Saturday, February 20th this year. We're hoping other stations across the network will join the broadcast since the Dead has national appeal. David Yans will be heading up the production on that day as he's done for so many years. KPFA also partnered with Freight and Salvage Coffee House to broadcast a celebration of the life and song of Ronnie Gilbert this last Thursday, January 21st. The broadcast was hosted by KPFA's former program director, Jenny Z. Burson, and the event was a huge success. KPFA will also be broadcasting Pacifica's national broadcast of the February 1st Iowa caucus, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, partnering with KHOI, a Pacifica affiliate in Iowa. KPFA website, version 2. This part of the update won't be noticeably different to the normal user, but will also make the site easier to use and navigate, giving the content more breathing room in general. In addition, we are able to clean up the code that has been added since the launch of the site, so the site is faster and has a more coherent code base to keep it updated in the future. Lastly, the biggest change to the structure of the site is adding an additional navigation at the top of the pages, what I call quick links. This new section is made up of five links three of them coming from the most visited sections of the site, archives, schedule, and programs. And two of them used to highlight the continued importance of other areas, support donate page, and search. This is a decision based on the data that we gathered from the current site. With version 2, we will continue to analyze how users are using the site and use this information to iterate on various parts of the site. Area 941, podcasts. The convenience of listening to podcasts anytime and almost anywhere is drawing in a bigger audience and pushing more public radio broadcasters to launch such initiatives. And that's why Area 941 is a key part of our strategic programming plan at KPFA. Radio listening habits have been altered by on-demand services on the Internet and on mobile devices. Today, it's incumbent upon us to encourage our audience to listen to their favorite shows at whatever time suits them, along with asking them to please post it to their social media pages to encourage friends to listen. It's a new day. Expanding our programming in the digital environment with more on-demand and time-shifted content gives us the opportunity and space to offer new and diverse voices from the community with a range of podcasters and to expand our popular content with new, exclusive content. Our goal is to create a substantial network of podcast channels to entice new listeners into the rest of our radio programming. Podcasts are cheaper and more flexible to create than typical broadcast shows, lowering the barrier of entry into the public radio for content creators, which in turn allows for more diverse voices. Quincy McCoy, General Manager, KPFA. Thank you.
Great voice. You should go into radio. Thank you. All right. What happened to the agenda?
Questions.
I don't know if people can answer. Go ahead. Quincy isn't here to answer the question.
Right. So that's one of the things I wanted to raise. You do we know why he's not here? And I just wanted to remind all of us that the general manager is an LSB member, non-voting. So I expect him to be at these meetings.
Yeah, question was along the same lines. Since I'm newly back on the board after a couple years away and haven't been on the board during the stint of the current management, I'm wondering if it's typical that the GM's not here, nor is the PD here. Has that been the rule for most of the last half a dozen meetings or so?
No. He's not been at each meeting, but he's been at several meetings. I don't have his attendance sheet here, but you can go back and look, I think. Margie.
I was just going to suggest that if people had questions for Quincy about his report, they should email them to him. q@kpfa.org.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Feel free to use the staff if you need
it. Good idea. Thank you, Frank.
Is it all the board members get the office of the report?
There are more copies. Rich has them if you don't have a copy. Or they got sent up here? There's one four-page statement and a one-page statement. 4 pages is on two sides, so it's 2 pieces of paper. We'll look at the four-page statement first. The other one is about the fund drive. The first thing I have to point out is that there is a column line that's in the wrong place on this, through the whole thing. Our business manager depends on controller in the national office for a lot of information and for putting it in a format that's usable so she doesn't have to enter every single item individually. It's called an FRX report or something like that. And he is really under a lot of stress with the new CFO on board now, stepping up the schedule for getting our audits done. This is extraordinarily important. So the national office staff has been spending a lot of time on that. And Efren Linares was there very late on Thursday night finishing this report, which Maria then, it was emailed to her. And she emailed it to me and made copies to give Rich to bring to the meeting. So I can see why there's one line here that's in the wrong spot. You'll look at the top lines across numbers 5 and 6 where the titles are. The first block is accounts. Then you have all the account names down there. Then we have columns for October, November, December. And you'll see there's a line in the middle of December between budget and actual. That's in the wrong place. It should be after actual. And that's through the whole document. So you don't want to confuse yourselves by not noticing that. So first we have October, November, December, where each has two columns, and we compared what was in our budget, which is a plan. It is not a contract. And then the actual thing that occurred in each of the categories, the first category being listener support. So it was budgeted or estimated, guessed, in October that we would have $190,000, $780. And actually, we brought in that category, $261,925,000. So that's just for the new folks. This is how you read these things. And then as we get over following to your right across, we'll go through the November and December. And then it says quarter one, fiscal year 2016. So that is the total of those 3 months. And it shows the budgeted amount for that period that had been speculated or guessed or planned for of $606,823. And the year-to-date figure brought in that category was $772,469. And then we've got the first category in the statement. And this whole section, this first section, is the revenue, the various types of revenue that come in. And then there's a column that is sometimes confusing about percentages of the differences in what between the budget and the actual thing that happened in that quarter or in that month. So we have a percentage difference. Well, first it shows the difference in amount. So the difference between 606,823 and 772,469 is 165,647. So you'll see we brought in that one category of earnings, 165,600 more, which is a difference of 27%, 27.3%. Now, I'm not going to go through every one of these numbers, but this is just, I was spelling this out for particularly new people so you can see how we have to read these statements. Go down to line, I have to get my magnifying glass, 26. So these are the totals of all the various types of revenue or income that we get. And then in the next section, we have operating expenses. Now, these categories, the various types, personnel costs, board expenses, administrative expenses, programming expenses, development expenses, and community and special events, all have pages that describe themselves much more fully. Like on this front page, you get all the different types of revenue, but you have to go to another page, for instance, to see what makes up the total of personnel costs, of board expenses, the total of administrative expenses, programming. That's what these other pages are for. And there is one category I'd like to point out to people, which is something called depreciation. Now, depreciation, if you... Just is part of administrative expenses. So you won't see it listed as an expense initially until you get into the administrative section, which, and it is on line 94. And then it is backed out of the financial statement or added back in at line 42. And this is something that the board has discussed. Financial people have differing opinions on how to use depreciation expenses. We had a period of time where there was a chief financial officer who insisted that it was an expense, but in fact, it isn't something we pay to anybody. It is an estimate of what we might need to pay if certain items depreciated to the point where we can't use them anymore. So the process that we're using now is it is listed as an expense under administrative expenses category, but it is added back in when figuring the total in looking at our total financial picture current as it is current. And you'll see also there is a category called central services. Now, there has been through the years different ways of calculating this. If, when I first was treasurer, it was 17.5% and 17% and 2.5%. 17% was for supporting the national office. 2.5% was for supporting the Pacifica Radio Archives. And it has changed in the last year with a chief financial officer and other people discussing the best way to calculate what the various stations should pay towards central services. Currently, you'll see the figure that is assigned to our station, and it is based on past years' amounts of income that has come in. I forget exactly whether it's not just this year past, but it's 4 years of previous. And the last category on this first page, then we have the adding back the, there's capital expenditures, and we haven't estimated any capital expenditures in this budget, so there is no figures across there. And then there's the net surplus or deficit, which is this the calculation of all the revenue, the various types of expenses. And you'll see that at this time, this quarter, the bottom line is that we have, so it does look very good. But you'll note that in various categories, in spite of that, there are losses in various. So all of the when you get around to looking at the financials, you need to look at the minuses as well. And as the year goes on, we will be studying them in particular. There's another category that I would like to draw your attention to, because the board always likes to hear and wonders why it is separate, and that is at the very end of the statement, the community events, the crafts fair and the community events. These are the expenses. Now the income for them. Oh dear, where is that? Anybody see the? Yes. Okay, there it is. Yeah, 17 and 18. That's where the income is, and then the expenses are at the very end. Any questions? Yes, Sharon.
I have several questions. I'm just going to say my question. Okay, I'm looking at
fiscal year 2016, and it has, I see the budget of $606,000, and it has year to date, $772,000. My question is, how is that actually saying that in this first month of January, we have actually gotten $772,000 in listener support? That's my first question. My second question is...
Let me answer
okay,
that right,
all right
away.
Okay,
it
yes.
isn't January. It's the accumulation of October, November, December.
Our fiscal year starts October 1.
Got it. That was the question then. Okay. So then my second... Thank you. Thank you. That explained a lot. I think that would help, actually, if we had a yearly budget also, so we could see where we're going, where we are within the year. I mean, if we're going to be redoing these, so where we can see where we are within the entire year. But my second question is, on listener support, line 8 for December, actual is stated on here as $430,000, but per Quincy's report, it's $347,000.
That was only for a fund drive, and other listener support is...
So where would we get another $90,000 of listener support?
It comes in not necessarily when the fund drive is on.
Okay.
There is income that is categorized as listener support. Yes, Brian.
Oh, wait, I had one more question.
It's just an answer.
Okay.
I think the station's customary practice is to count web pledges received for 2 weeks after the fund drive. Towards the fund drive total. That clearly was not included in the total he gave you, but if you add the figure for web pledges received in the final 2 weeks of the year plus the figure for pledges received during the active fund drive, you get close to that number. But listener support also includes money from monthly installment pledges from listener from previous drives that just kind of come in on an ongoing basis, includes unsolicited gifts, and it would include money from the direct mail campaign that we sent out right after Thanksgiving. So people just returning their renewals and stuff.
Okay. Thank you. And then my other question is sort of similar. From the crafts fair income, which is line 18, it shows an actual of $28,400. And Quincy's general manager's report said that there was $36,000 in crafts fair income. So maybe it's something similar in the accounting. Haven't. Okay.
Yes, Tim.
So, hello? I can't hear me. Okay, sorry. It just doesn't seem like it's coming out of the speaker. So when I get a fiscal statement at my work, because I'm a manager, we make it really clear, like we put the, if I have community events income and community events expense, I have them together, and I have a bottom line that says net. And it would make it really easy to read if we organized our reports in these way so that there would, the net expenses and net income, expenses and net work together. Right now I have to cross-reference four different lines and two different pages to get that information. So I think as a board member, I might find it useful to have it in a different...
This is a traditional statement that board members make.
I am pro-change.
And I think the business manager can explain better why it's done this way. But for my point of view, I put this in my head, and Brian will tell me whether I'm totally wrong or not. But the special events are outside of the activity of producing radio programs.
Mm-hmm.
So I accept the fact that the business structure has been all this time to have these items separate. Right. You got a better explanation, Brian? I know, but he's talking about where they belong in the statement.
Well, yeah. The statement, we're stuck with a fairly antiquated accounting package and report generating package, and this follows the format that it spits out automatically. So Maria could generate what you're talking about as like an analysis document. It's just more of her time, which is in high demand. But that would be something she had to do by
Excel,
hand.
Excel, where I work. It's like pretty easy to move stuff around when you want
well,
to.
Well, we have to fit into the networks. We have to fit into the network system because all of our financial information goes into a big thing where they spit out the whole foundation's financial statement. So one of the big problems in financial reporting for the foundation has been that there are stations, or at least one, where they've refused to use, or they're unable to use, the system that everybody else is using. So it makes for double work for the national office staff to even get to the point where we can have financial statements that can be audited.
Right. Okay.
Can the treasurer just give us a condensed version?
We often get special reports from our business manager from specifically for things like this. But we have to be mindful, you know, we are not her boss. Yeah. We don't decide on what priorities she has to do
right,
in order to do her job.
That's why I was suggesting that the treasurer does it. That's why I was suggesting that the treasurer does it.
Well, the treasurer is a volunteer position.
The treasurer for the board couldn't just condense this so that you guys understand. Let's all rest.
Well, let's have a little practice at trying to understand the way they come for a while. Sabrina, I love talking with you, but we're not supposed to do this back and forth crap.
It is broken out that way in our annual budget, which I can send an electronic copy out for the benefit of new members as an analysis type.
There is a budget that was, you know, approved that you can have separate from these so that you can see.
I have another question, if that's all right. And it sort of combines two things.
I just want to note that what that little song was that it's 3:30, which had been the 3:15. Oh.
No, it was a 30-minute gap on the times gap.
Never mind.
So I just wanted to ask, Quincy mentioned that we had to tack on $100,000 to our fundraising goal because a certain station or stations borrowed money that isn't going to be repaid. And I think this is an old story at the Pacifica Network. I think KPFA's been covering the costs of failing stations for outside of our listening area for a long time. So I wonder if there's any way to say at the board level, to whom have we lent money? How much money is there?
Is a
how
statement.
Much money is coming
there is
back?
An account called. I want to hurry this along. There's an account called the interdepartmental account. It really should be intra or intrastation, and it keeps track of all the money that has been loaned and borrowed. And Maria can produce this,
And we have had statements like that periodically so that we can understand where these monies have gone and when certain things have been paid back.
So as a board member responsible for, you know, partially responsible for the KPFA budget, I think it's important for us to understand which stations in the network that we are underwriting, especially if it's going to cost us six figures added to a fund drive at the last minute. I think it would be, even though it's an inter-office loan that's been used to cover up this information, I think at the national level a lot. I'd like to know who it is.
We do get reports on this regularly, just so, I mean, so this is the first meeting you're at, and so you're, right, you know, like raising the things that occur to you that are really required for you to do your job well. But we do get those reports, so, and we will.
And we will.
And we will.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to respond to that, but I don't know if this is on. I have two.
The batteries died in the monitor.
All right. I have two questions that are not related to this thing, or, you know, I mean, I have, you know, these two reports.
For
should
the
I hold
fund
off?
Drive report?
No. For other.
Right. I was asking if that's
so
what
I'm,
she was saying.
That's what I'm asking. I have some questions related to the treasurer's report that are not directly related to this that I want to ask, but I'm saying that I guess not now after we finish the discussion on this. But I did want to say that there was $400,000 bequest that belonged to, excuse me, this relates to what, yes, it does, that was, right, exactly, and that money did not belong to KPFA to loan out the PNB. It belongs to the national, to Pacifica, and so the advances from that money will not be paid back to KPFA because it's really Pacifica's money. And there was a report on that. Quincy provided a report.
Is this on?
At a previous meeting.
Is this on?
He spelled it out.
Oh, I see. The amp isn't working anymore. Is that right? Okay. All right. This is a disputed discussion, and it is not a, it is not, there are different points of view on this, of what the facts of that are. So I just want to state that for the record, because Janet, you're stating that as if that is the fact, and other people think that is not the fact at all and have a very different view of what happened and your role in that. But Margie.
That's just what I was saying.
Okay. All right. So did you have questions on the treasurer's report? Okay. Not on the financials.
Right. Well, let me just say them.
Okay.
One is I'd like to know what the current bank balance is, and two, I wanted to know what the status of the KPFA audit schedules are for fiscal year 2014 and 2015.
The bank balance, Quincy did refer to it in his statement. It's about $200,000, but we have a lot of bills to pay and a payroll coming up. So we might just consider it all very committed. And it is, unfortunately, we are getting close to really needing the next fund drive. The audit schedule is something that is known by the CFO, and the report that we had on the Finance Committee meeting the other night, I didn't commit it to memory. Brian may remember, but he has a very ambitious plan and is moving ahead furiously on this, on even talking about the fact that we're in the fiscal year of 2016, and we should be accumulating data for that, so we will be ready for having it the statements at a time when a more timely fashion for the current year we're in. The audits matter because of there's a report that we need to put out where you think of yourself making a tax return. Well, even nonprofit organizations have to make statements that are similar. They're government forms. They look a lot like a tax return. And on them you report on what kind of income you've gotten and what you've spent it on. And those reports are then recognized by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and based on our finishing our audits and having these reports, they award or don't award money based on the kind of the activity and the income that comes from our listeners. Yes, Margie.
I think Janet's question was about where KPFA was at with the what are they called? The audit schedule. A schedule in an audit is like a whole bunch of information. So there are many schedules in the audit, like 50, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, there have been people have raised questions about whether KPFA was holding up the audit because we hadn't submitted all of our schedules on time. And I just want to say that it's my understanding that at this point KPFA is completely up to date with everything that has been requested by the auditors.
But that's on the 2014 audit.
That's on the 2015 audit?
2014 audit.
Okay.
If we were firing on all cylinders, we would be assembling schedules for the 2015 audit right now.
Okay. All right. So is there any other questions? Yes. You have to use the mic. I can't hear you either.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some things don't seem to have changed a bit since I was last on the board. People are still arguing about whether depreciation should be in. But anyway, I guess what I hadn't known was apparently the calculation of central services. Apparently.
No, the amp is out. The amp isn't working.
Okay. Yeah, apparently, from what I understood a moment ago, the calculation of.
No, you see, then the mic for the recording.
Of central service charges has changed. Apparently, it's now a rolling average of several years. Have the percentages changed as well? Just fill me in on what the new formula is, please.
Okay. Well, you want to do that since you were doing the.
Okay. So what happened was that when Raul Salvador was the CFO, he realized that the way central services had been done in the past, which was that the end of each month, each station had to calculate what their listener support was, because the central services is a contribution to the national office based on listener support, and that to do this on a monthly basis was very difficult, very time-consuming, and caused a lot of disputes. People were always arguing about what they actually owed, and it was difficult. So what he did was he set up a system where the national office looked at the verified listener support from each of the stations for the past 4 years, and based on an average of that, he created a monthly bill for each station. So it was no longer being done on a month-by-month basis. The stations could budget for it. It was in their budgets. They knew what the amount would be. They knew ahead of time what the amount was, and they were supposed to pay those amounts.
And Pacifica could budget for it also.
Anyway, great. And at least at KPFA, I don't know what the response was at other stations, but at least at KPFA, the business manager and the GM both thought this was a great idea because it made their lives so much simpler you know, made things go. The not every station pays its central services like they're supposed to every month. That's one of the things that we'll see in a national report. There are problems with some of the stations. Some of the stations are months behind. Some of the stations are busy catching up. Like I understand currently that KPFK, which didn't pay central services for a while, is now catching up to that. And, you know, there's it doesn't always work out perfectly in real life, but that's the system now, so that at the beginning of each fiscal year, someone in the accounting office, in the national office, calculates what the central service contribution should be for each station, and then the stations are supposed to put that in their budget going forward on a monthly basis.
Are we segueing into the PNB report?
No.
Oh, we've got the other finance. Okay. Go ahead.
So I have a couple of questions. And line 69, and this is more of that potential general manager, treasurer, and a business manager. You can take a look at these numbers and whether something irregular is happening or if you can charge more, maybe there's other vendors. But line 69, the telephone radio lines, we budgeted
Reuters.
Reuters. It's $5,811 over budget.
Jesus.
You know, somebody's spending over what we have allotted for that. 105, the satellite fees, either hung up extremely or I'm not sure what's happening, but it's $8,953 over budget. The website expenses, you know, it's not so much. But these are, and line 120, credit card discount fees. That's $7,579 over budget. So, now these are, when you add up all these numbers, you're getting into $20,000, $30,000. That's a, you know, a salary for somebody or somebody that we can have actual quality programming that the money could be used for. So, the general manager and a business manager, the treasurer, and both of them look at us and see what's going on.
I can say a couple things, and Brian may be able to say things too. First of all these things that you've mentioned are the figures that are in the budget come from what people speculated was in the past, and it's not. They can't control most of these expenses. It's not a matter of, oh, let's just spend wildly on the phone radio lines this time. It has more to do with making accurate budget estimates when we're doing a budget. I don't know. Brian, you got something to say about these expenses that he's pointing out?
I'll have to confirm this. I think the radio lines line seems to be going over in the months where we have fund drives. I think that's probably the charges we're getting from the rollover service that's picking up when we don't have enough volunteers. And that's relatively new, so we didn't have a good way to model it when we drew up the budget. The credit card fees are over, but this is something that scales with our amount of listener support. So our listener support is 27% over budget. You would expect the credit card fees to be up proportionate to that. It's up by more than that. I believe we had a change in payment processors. I don't know if our rates have gone up, but that would have been since we drafted the budget. But as Barbara's saying, none of these are discretionary expenses. It's nobody saying, hey, let's spend more on credit cards this month. It's stuff we try to predict to the best of our ability when we're working on the budgets. And I suspect, although again I'll look into it, the bills for AP and Reuters would just be a timing thing, like what month we got billed in. That's the month we have to record it. And it'll probably even out on a year-to-date basis over upcoming months. But that would only affect our year-to-date figures if we had delayed from a previous fiscal year.
If you're talking, you've
got to
use the microphone.
Yeah, but they're year-to-date figures is what he's raising questions about. We'll look into it. But
okay, Craig.
I'm just wondering if you look at line 29, board expenses. I think that's us, right? And it's also a strange pattern. November, for instance, 2150 was budgeted. Actual was 14,000. December, you know, it's different. I'm just wondering if you know what accounts for those.
Look at line 57 and 59. 57, 58,
59. Whoops.
No, I think it's 61,
62, 62. Yeah,
62. I'm sorry, 62.
It's election.
Oh, it's election.
It's election.
It's
line 63.
Yeah.
It's election.
Okay.
All right. Frank?
I got a mic. Oh, I think I got it.
Hello. So I don't want to be seen as a Crafts Fair hater because I love the Crafts Fair. But I'm curious now that we have this new arrangement and that we're getting just money from the door, there's not a bunch of other stuff. I'm wondering if that the number, which is 30,000 or – wait, no, the actual number is 28,000.
What
line are you? 18, like –
uh-huh.
So is that the number that came in through the door? And I'm wondering if that is after all the expenses we paid, including the salary of the person running the Crafts Fair, because I know that every year it's been in honor of our old Andrea Pritchett, who's always concerned about it too, because we have a part-time Crafts Fair person that gets paid that year. So I'm just curious if that's, like, including that expense.
Who does?
Jan Eitri's not on payroll anymore. She's not on payroll. So we have a contract with her. She lays out the money for the Crafts Fair expenses. We give her office space. She keeps the booth fees. We keep the door. And we promote the event. And she has no employment relationship with the station anymore. So basically, she's assuming the risk. Like if there's a flop, nobody comes and the vendors don't sign up for booths next year. But she also reaps the reward if booth fees go much higher than expected. But, you know, KPFA has much less exposure in the case of a bad year than it used to. And all the income we have is basically our profit on the event now. There's no hidden expenses anywhere in here.
Thank you.
Okay, Sharon.
I just wanted to say, Frank, that if you look on line 143, it does show craft fair expense of $500. So there's the expenses are there. They're just very minor, I guess. That's kind of what Brian was saying.
Wow.
That's it?
$100
expense.
Oh, right. The line will be. Yes.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. One more.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a question on line
13.
Yeah, wait a second. Line 12.
12?
Major donor income.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get any, huh?
That's, yes, we estimate based on the past, and so far there has been nothing that has come in under major donor category, that one.
Yeah, that line is specifically trust, bequest, and planned gifts. So it's highly unpredictable. Our average is about $250,000 a year, but some years we have had as little as $20,000 on that line. Some years we've had north of $600,000 on that line.
It says major donors, but that includes, like, if someone just gave $2,000, it's not necessarily a trust or bequest.
No, if someone like gave pledged $2,000 during a fund drive, that would be recorded as listener support. I know the title on that line is misleading, but the instructions in the chart of accounts say trusts, bequests, planned giving.
Can I make a comment on this issue that I think speaks to all of us and what we have to do as fundraisers for the board? And part of that is, as I've served on boards that give away money, and I wouldn't give money to KPFA right now necessarily when I look at the board being so divided as it's been in the past, and I think in Pacifica is even worse. I think we owe it to our potential donors to try and heal some of the divisions or at least keep them inside the house if we're going to get any major donors. I think we're hurting ourselves when we take our dirty laundry onto the internet and onto every other place where we can. So it's just sort of a comment on major donors and to make.
Okay. Do I see any more comments or questions on the treasurer's report? I'm saying, do I see any comments or questions on the treasurer's report? Oh, yes.
I want to go back to line 101.
Louder, please.
Okay. Just want to go back to line 101 that Jose Luis brought up, the news services, AP, Reuters. Why do we even have that? It sounds like a longer conversation. We can talk about it later, but this seems like it's putting us in the hole when we're a community radio station and we have reporters on the ground. That's the assumption. So
well,
why do we need AP?
This is, of course, I'm sure you're aware, a point that has been discussed in the past. And we do have managers who run the business of the station, and it has been their decision that it is necessary. So it's true you can have your opinion about why, but the point in time to address anything where you disagree with management is when we have evaluation of the managers. So
okay, well, it looks like that'll take us to our next section, the P&B committees for reviewing managers.
So I'm wondering, are we paying feature story news? I mean, is that a line item? Are we paying them? And if so, where would we find that?
I don't know the answer to that.
What line? Which line?
Yes.
Which line?
Feature story news.
Line number?
There is no line number.
That's the point. That's the question.
That's free speech radio news. That's different.
So I think we do have a contract with. Anyway, we can look into it. But I think we do have a contract in a pretty small amount with Free Speech Radio News for permission to run their stories. Well, I'm just flagging it because there's nothing recorded in the first quarter there.
Are we going to talk about the second page?
If you'd like.
Yeah, so the second page.
Wait a minute. By second page, you're talking about the single sheet?
Yeah, the single sheet.
All right. Now, this is a report that is for the new people, in particular, that we get from Chris Stelic, and he's the person handling the data of how the income is categorized when it comes in for fund drives. And I want to draw your attention to the column that has, well, first of all, you'll see his big heading dollar amounts. And then there's, under that, there's the total pledged. The next column is total paid. And then the difference. And after that is the something called rate. Now, the fulfillment, that's the fulfillment rate. And we often talk in various committees about the fund drives for all stations and what their fulfillment rate is. And it's a measure of how successful the fundraising is. If you don't get your money after it's pledged, then you're probably not doing a very good job in the beginning. And so this particular report is made very soon after the end of the December fund drive. And this figure rate, is going to change as the pledges come in. So after a while, we're going to see the rate there that KPFA is known for, which is 89 to 90%. We have a very good fulfillment rate in this station. So what you're seeing here is a report that hasn't got all of the pledges in yet, obviously, from the category, you know, just before that, where we see how much was pledged, how much has been paid, and the difference. Now,
for the last fund drive, I'm sorry.
Yes, December. This is just for December. There are things that affect this kind of a report. Somebody who maybe made a pledge from a previous fund drive and pays it really, 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 really late, it will still get into this data. But for the most part, this is just concerning the December fund drive. So let's go down the column on the left and look at the various categories that get reported to us. It's just very interesting to note how the money comes in. So under that very first total, you know, for pledges and paid and difference, then we have by purpose. And there's a word there, acquisitions. Now, that's a strange word to actually signify that it's new donors, totally new contributors to our station. And so in this fund drive, we had over $91,000 come from people who'd never contributed before. We had renewal. I've never quite understand renewals and rejoins. Renewals must be people are renewing in time, and rejoins mean people who've lapsed. But you can see the amounts that came in under that category. Additional gifts signifies people who give continually. This is additional to their basic commitment. Then other is some category. I don't know what it is. Where they don't fit some the categories that Chris is. Yeah. Now, then we look at the on-air pledges, the rollover calls, and the website income. Now, website income during the fund drive. We have website income that comes in between fund drives that is in a separate category in the budget and in the financial reports. But in this report right here, this is just tallying how much people actually pledged during the fund drive when the people pitching say, or you can, you know, donate online. Lump sum pledges. Now, that's an interesting one. I forget what that is.
As opposed to installment plans.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Somebody's just giving with...
That's a total.
That's a total, right. And there are people that have pledged that haven't fulfilled that yet, but you'll see that that's at 88.5% of fulfillment at this rate, at this date. So back to this left-hand column, you'll see installment plans, and people paid by credit cards, or electronic funds transfer plans is what many people do that I know. You have it, you just tell them, take it out of my bank account every month. And that's what that is. Payroll plans would have to be set up with an employer. That's not to say we can't have that. It might be something that if we had a development director, they would make contact with friendly employers and they could set up a system where people would be offering. Then we have the category either by credit cards or non-cards, the amounts pledged. Then the amounts pledged by people who requested premiums or people who did not request any premium. Okay. And I think it's always interesting, the bottom section there by gift size, to note that it's the between $100 and $249 is the pledges that come in the most amount of money.
Jose
Luis. Yeah. So, Barbara, I don't know if you have an answer to this, but under credit cards, I assume these are people who give their credit cards and we can run the cards, but it looks like almost $80,000 hasn't been collected on, because that bad credit cards, or is just somebody hasn't entered the credit cards, or?
No, I think they get behind on entering them. This is a lot of data that gets handled by Chris Stelick and his office. Yes, that's right. Credit cards are used for installment plans too.
I'm just trying to
note that the time is now actually 3:45. So okay.
You don't mind, I'm going to move to the PNB report given the time. Okay? Janet.
Okay. So on December 14th, 4 of the 7 proposed bylaws amendments were approved, and they are listed on the pacifica.org website. The term limits, regular meetings by phone, that's PNB meetings. PNB quorum and LSB quorum, those have to do with if there isn't a quorum, then there needs to be something. There have to be minutes produced stating the who was there or what. Anyway, so that's one thing. We hired a new CFO, Sam Agarwal, who started on January 4th. He started taking the reins from day one. And also, he would be willing to come to one of these meetings to give a report, a global report on Pacifica finances, if the body wants that. Delegate elections, something that, well, maybe some of you are not aware of this. All the seats in the 2015 election hold 3-year terms. Initially, it was 1 year. Okay. All elections have been certified. That's 4 of the elections. WPFW did not have one. There's some contentious results, and all the LSBs are in the process of doing what we did today, electing officers and PNB directors. Okay, and there have been a lot of election issues that have been raised. Okay, moving on. After, let's say, an unusual and contentious nominations process, the PNB determined 2 2016 affiliates directors. The 2016 PNB will be seated on January 28th, that's this coming Thursday, and work on the next in-person PNB meeting, which will be in Berkeley, probably, I don't know,
February, March, or April, I'm guessing.
Of what year?
We don't know. Anyway, okay. So, and several strategic planning initiatives have been approved, including something called financial initiatives and structural changes, and that consists of to consolidate the accounting process for greater efficiency and transparency, and that relates to some of what came up today. Reduce the number of bank accounts in use, all accounts to use same accounting system, Great Plains, some stations do not. CFO on all accounts transparent to the CFO. And that's my...
Okay, we have 9 minutes. Brian and Margie, additions?
I've been out of the country and unplugged, so I've missed most of the last month of meetings. I appreciate the thoroughness and diligence of Janet's recaps, as always. I just want to mention, I think the most I can say without speaking out of school is that the CFO hire was a unity move by the board. The person we picked, we've probably been more unified behind than just about any other decision we've made. And I have great hopes for the person we got, Sam. He seems eminently qualified, and we seem very lucky to have him. And the difficulties facing him in that position are monumental. So I hope we can all approach his work and any difficult decisions he may have to make or advocate in the spirit of supporting someone who's been good enough to take us on when we may not have deserved it.
Okay, we have 7 minutes, and we have, don't forget, we have KFCF, so Jose Luis and Margie.
Okay.
Jose Luis.
I have nothing to add to. Okay. I'll be real quick. I was under the weather during the latter part of the year, missed some PNB meetings. I just want to refer to the report that Janet talked about around strategic planning and long-term stuff. There is a task force headed there. Someday you'll learn why it's important that those distinctions are important. Committees have to follow all kinds of rules. Anyway, George Ryder from Texas heads up this task force on strategic planning. It is open to anyone who want any LSB member, any PNB member who wants to participate. And I would urge new people to think about it. We meet on the phone about once a month, and George has come up with some really good proposals, which are before the PNB, some of which have been voted on, some of which haven't. But I think it's an important thing. And if anyone's interested in plugging into the strategic planning task force, you can see me and I'll make it happen.
Okay, quick questions because we want KFCF time.
Yes. This Janet Copeland's report to the LSB of ad hoc subcommittees. Are we going to be able to talk about this during the next meeting so that we can form the ad hoc subcommittees?
Yes.
It looks like she has listed here, just for the record, finance subcommittee, general manager evaluation subcommittee, and the program director.
They will carry over into.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
For the record, thank
Sharon.
You.
Sharon.
I just wanted to say, having been newly elected and with all the confusion with the election, I've heard rumors that there's going to be another election in 2016, and so I'm trying to get clarity from the PNB whether there will be another election in 2016.
Okay. If you can do a real quick answer. Because
well, as far as we know, there will be, and yeah.
KFCF.
Two things. We did get a small bequest of $8,000, which is nice, and the other thing is we had taken our streaming offline for a while. We'd had a number of issues. We've been working towards resolving those issues. Some were programmers that refused to do music logs or would say, no, you go ahead and listen to everything I played and you figure it out and write it down. Or some people that just wouldn't get the logs in on time. So I'm setting up a system now where we can turn off their shows so they don't get streamed, the people who don't comply. So we hope to begin streaming so that the programming we carry from KPFA and our local shows will both be available on a stream, and that hopefully should be within the next month. That's it.
Yay. All
right. I move to adjourn.
I think that the meeting is adjourned. The business is done.
People to put the tables
and pay attention to the food.
And clean up after the food.
Right. Thank you.
Do you want to upload it or what's the plan? You want to upload it?
I will.